Welcome back to Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi.
And I'm Lisa. Here's a quick recap from day one. The fall broke our spiritual perception, and we've been fighting blind. We cannot see the battle. New birth through Jesus restores that sight, and today we're going to talk about what to do with open eyes.
Yeah, Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Paul wraps up this whole section on the full armor of God with this. And there are three things packed into the image of the sword that he wants us to feel.
First, there's urgency. If somebody calls you at 2 o'clock in the morning and says, "Get your sword," you don't ask questions?
If it's a friend, you don't,
okay.
Right?
Okay, right.
It's a weird call. It's just like a random spam right? call, you
it's
might.
It's a random call. Okay. That one word tells you everything. Something is wrong, and the moment is now. Paul is writing a battle cry, not a theology textbook. He's saying, "Wake up, get up. It's not a drill."
Do you have a sword ready if somebody calls you?
I don't. I mean, yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Paul says, basically, wake up. Pick up your sword. Second is proximity. Paul doesn't just say, take up your bow or your arrow or your gun or your spear. Those are kind of distant weapons. He says sword. And just before this, in verse 12, he said, we wrestle. We wrestle with this darkness. And so both of those are pictures of being something close, something desperate, something messy. The enemy doesn't operate far away. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, he's a roaring lion prowling, not a distant threat. He plants thoughts, he feels desires, he whispers lies from the right beside you. Most people never realize he was there. They fought the symptoms and they missed the source.
Right, and third, and this is a big one, right? So we've had proximity and urgency. And here's a big one. The sword is the only offensive weapon. Every other piece of armor is defensive. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, they protect you. They're essential. But here's the distinction. If you put on all the defensive armor, you won't be defeated, but you won't experience triumph either. Not losing is not the same as winning, and surviving is not the same as taking ground.
Yeah, God didn't save us to hunker down until Jesus came back. In Matthew 11:12, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. There is supposed to be a holy aggression, maybe, to the Christian life, not toward people, but toward sin, toward every stronghold in your own soul.
I was just thinking of like hunting. I don't hunt, but I was thinking of like the blind, right, that you sit in. It's just like waiting and for the safe distance. And I think sometimes I think about this battle that we're in like that, right? Like I'm all hiding in my little camp. I got my phone. I'm checking it occasionally, right? Like, but when I think about like wrestling and the nearness of the enemy, like I hadn't thought about it like that before. And so it's not just that maybe that God didn't like, we're not just like hunkering down. Like we're fully armed and ready for battle because like, he's right there. It's not like far off in the middle of it. Anyways, I just got carried away and I'm not following my notes.
Well, Romans 8:13 talks kind of about that. And it says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, the flesh, you will live. And he says, like, you're not going to just manage sin and just kind of be okay. But you can kind of see the sword coming out and just like, whoosh, whoosh. You know, and really piercing through those things, not containing, but putting to death.
Yeah, here's proof it's possible. Matthew 4, famous. Jesus is led into the wilderness and he's fasting for 40 days and he's hungry and he's depleted and he's alone. Enemy shows up and he's close. He's not far away. And in three different instances, we have this encounter between the devil and the enemy. And Jesus, in Matthew 4, the beginning, attack 1, he says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And here he hits at a physical need, which is identity and power. And then Jesus responds, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Yeah, and then there's another attack, and the enemy takes him to the temple, kind of the pinnacle, and quotes scripture back to him. he will command his angels concerning, he tells them to jump off. And it's kind of more sophisticated, a theological argument. And Jesus says the same thing. It is also written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.
Right. And then the third time, he says, all these kingdoms I will give you if you will just worship me. Everything without the cross, Jesus. And Jesus says this, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Three attacks, three times, it is written, and the enemy left. That is the sword driving him back completely.
Yeah, but Jesus didn't cold quote scripture. Luke 4:1 says he went into the wilderness full of the Spirit. He had spent 40 days fasting and praying before a single word was spoken against the enemy. The sword came out of a man saturated in communion with the Father, and that's why it had power. The word and prayer were never separated.
And that's exactly what we're going to talk about on day three. The sword only works when something else is true. And we'll get to that tomorrow.
And so today, you have an offensive weapon. Use it, not just to survive, but to take ground.
Hey, thanks for being with us on Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.